Welcome to the CCTA wake-up call. Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association offers this every week, Saturday morning at 6 a.m., Sunday at 11 a.m., and Sunday again at 8 p.m., and it's also available on our website, the cctaxpayers.com. Just we ask you to join us, and hopefully we have a lively discussion for you. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Kim Fink.
And Glenn Fink.
Welcome. I'm going to turn it over to Mary.
We're going to lead off tonight with a story out of Colorado. A little kid, 12 years old, found himself in trouble at the Vanguard School in Colorado Springs because he had a backpack that had a patch of the Gadsden flag. He was kicked out of class, and his mother was called into the office to discuss what he had done wrong. According to the school staff, the flag wasn't allowed in the school due to its origins in slavery and the slave trade. Well, Jaden knew better than that. He'd been studying history. And so they got together and they talked about it. And
I think the staff didn't want to listen to him when he gave them a real history lesson. Is that
correct? Is true. So he came back to the school with the bag and the patch still attached, and he said he would refuse to remove the patch and will conduct a school sit-in if it comes down to it. Actually, two law firms have offered to assist him, and the governor of Colorado published a tweet in support of Jaden,
who is a Democrat, which is interesting to note.
Yes. And evidently, the school got a little bit cautious here. They canceled a back-to-school night because of some unforeseen circumstances. And then, later, the members of the school board called an emergency meeting and affirmed their respect for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and decided that the Gadsden patch is a valuable part of American history, and Jaden may keep it on his backpack if he chooses.
So they were given a history lesson.
It's interesting, too, because the article said that Jaden filmed the exchange between himself and the teachers. I think that was pretty insightful, because I could imagine a kid going home and saying, "Mom, guess what the teacher said?"
Well, it's also interesting that social media played a role in this, because the governor put out his tweet in support, and when the news got out, the initial article was in a website called Red State. As the news got out, again, he got offers from law firms saying, "I will represent you, your rights have been violated." And the Gadsden flag has a history with the Navy, does it not?
Well, it has a dual history, a history with the Navy, but also, as you saw, the Gadsden flag when they were cutting the snake into 13 pieces representing the 13 colonies. If you treat them separately, you know, was it Ben Franklin? We'll either hang together or hang separately.
And the "don't tread on me" was an indicator of if you step on a snake, you're likely to get bit.
You're likely to get bit. I mean, there's a lot of symbolism behind that flag. I know it was a big Tea Party flag.
Yes.
It was a tweet, right?
So that's the governor.
X. Yeah. So that's from the platform X now.
Yes.
So that doesn't surprise me that would be allowed to happen as a tweet, because that's the most conservative broadly used, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wouldn't have happened on Facebook, probably. That would have gotten zapped somehow. That's my belief.
Well, also, since Elon Musk took over Twitter, now X, the rules have been very relaxed. And actually, I think Facebook is being a little careful. I haven't been censored on Facebook for a couple of months now.
And that's got to be an influence from what's going on with the past Twitter.
And I know on Facebook there's a number of people that I've seen that when somebody gets challenged by Facebook and, you know, something is blocked, everybody else tries to write that exact same thing, couching the words a little bit, and all of a sudden the thing that's going to be blocked, now you've got 27 people that are distributing the same thing. So Facebook is being challenged.
So that wasn't my intent for the original question, but that shows you, of course, it wasn't a small investment, but that shows you how the broader system can be influenced.
Yes.
If somebody's willing to stand up.
That's right.
And also what is happening on Facebook is a lot of people who want to avoid the Facebook censors are putting a pretty colored headline out there and saying the article's in the comments, because evidently they don't censor the comments the same way they censor the articles.
Interesting.
So that's people are finding.
I think I sent us on a sidetrack.
Well, no, it's a good sidetrack because people need to know where to get good information. And actually, that leads us to an article that I want to talk about.
Well, go for it.
This was in the Washington Free Beacon. And it turns out that the Associated Press is now being bankrolled by millions of dollars from left-wing foundations.
And why is that a surprise?
Well, it's not a surprise that they would be influenced. It is a surprise to me that they would be bankrolled. This means that the Associated Press needs money, which means they're not getting the audience and the widespread whatever that they were used to getting. That is a good sign.
Well, hopefully that's an indication that lack of free speech can't work long-term organically. I mean, it's encouraging to me that some of their failed systems, because let's face it, it's not a free, media is not a free
media's
idea.
And it's not unbiased.
Well, correct.
You know, but media, and now we've used the term media as opposed to journalists, and media has an awful lot of opinion in it, whereas the old journalist education was who, what, when, where, why, and how. And the why was the only subjective thing in there. Everything else was a factual statement.
And they used to have to be sourced two or three times before they would even be published. And there were not the number of retractions that we hear these days, because these days it's about the money, so it's about who gets the story first, and then you go back and correct your errors after the fact.
Yes.
And that's an excellent point, though. Journalism is the word that should have been used versus media, which can be a lot of things.
Media, all that we see is objective reporting, nothing factual anymore.
Well, it's interesting. Their climate change reporting is what is cited in this article, and it's all left-wing groups. So where do you go if you want honest information on climate change? Now, I have a suggestion for that. There is a website called What's Up With That, W-A-T-T-S, Up With That. It's written by Anthony Watts, who is a meteorologist. It's very scientific, but he is wonderful. And he will show you, if you go through his articles, you'll find charts showing the history of climate change, including the things that they left out to make it look like worse than it is. Now, I saw something today about the hottest cities in the country in 1936. The number of cities over 100 degrees in 1936 versus today. And guess what? 1936 had a hotter summer than we did.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to go back to the AP funding. And one other line that I have is there was a June report from the Catholic Vote. Revealed a list of seven terms the AP style book instructed journalists not to use. And again, I'm using that word journalist loosely there. And illegal immigrant, groomer, mute, mutilation, pro-abortion, transgenderism, abortionist, and transsexual. They're not supposed to use those terms in their, they're supposed to flower it up a little bit more.
Mm.
And he who controls the vocabulary controls the discussion.
Yep.
Because they say that those terms were dehumanizing.
Oh, my God! They're offensive. They're all offensive, and much like the Gadsden flag is offensive.
Well, yes. We've all heard people who are for abortion being called pro-choice, and people who are against abortion being called anti-abortion.
Mm.
I mean, again, it's the vocabulary. There were the latest thing now that scares me. They're working to change the word pedophile to minor attracted persons.
Which reminds me that there was news today about a sorority trying to keep a male from being in their dormitories, and they went to court and they lost. Girls lost, and they even had proof that was getting excited watching the girls undress, but so there is no consideration for the girls. It was all for the guy, and the judge based his decision based on the word woman wasn't described as what constituted a woman. And I listened to this, and he said, because back then they didn't have to worry about not knowing if you were a woman.
Yeah, it was.
And this guy is extremely lecherous. I mean, I'm going to say as a grandfather or whatever else, if I go into a girl's bathroom or whatever else, am I a protected transsexual or am I a dirty old man?
On that thought,
we're going to stop for a quick break to hear from our supporters and sponsors. And thanks for staying with us.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with us. And we're going to switch topics. And first off, we're going to start off with the state is still at a, quote, budget impasse where the House and the Senate cannot reconcile their differences. The House, I believe, from what we've heard, the House has said there will not be allowance for gambling in there, the casinos. And yet the Senate is very adamant that they want to have casinos in there so that they can more readily reduce the tax amount. Kim, do you have some filling in there?
Yes, there was an article recently about the legislators and the amount of money that is involved from the lobbying perspective into getting gambling in the state, as well as the pro-marijuana, which are both issues in the budget this year. And this article was written by a Bob Hall, who is not known to be exactly a conservative. But he's pointing out in this article that most of the contributions are being made to Republicans. And the question is, it's more like a hit piece as to why are these so-called conservatives so in favor of these pretty progressive ideas like gambling and marijuana? And the answer is, like I say all the time, is follow the money.
Follow the money.
Follow the money. And what's interesting in this one is that most of the money, the majority of the money, is coming from out of state, which I hate. If we could get rid of the out of state funding and the lobbyists connected with that, I think it would be a gift from heaven. But he points out that the contributions to these Senate and House members didn't occur before 2022, which indicates to me that the money came in based on favorable votes towards the gambling. And one of the things that was interesting is he basically says that somebody told these gambling companies that North Carolina is a pay-to-play state, and you have to put the money in if you want your bill passed. And this is an interesting, and I'm going to read it straight from the article so I don't mess it up. But it says, North Carolina law bans lobbyists from giving or delivering contributions to a legislator. But it's not illegal for someone who hires a lobbyist to donate to legislators while they are deciding how to vote on the bill promoted by the lobbyist. People might call that bribery, said Hall. But the U.S. Supreme Court says a donation is a form of free speech.
Wow.
Can you imagine the corruption that's going on? And this article continues. It talks about all these different companies, how many lobbyists they've hired, how much money they have given. And the names that are named include Tim Moore, Jason Sane, John Bell, Jim Perry, all people who are supposed to be representing their constituents. Phil Berger, interesting fact on the gambling point, Phil Berger's son, who is a commissioner in Rockingham County, where one of the casinos wants to go, the commissioners, which Kevin Berger, Phil Berger's son, is on, they voted to rezone the land for casino. Funny thing is, the constituency of the area does not want a casino. So who are these people representing? Are they representing the big business and the money, or are they representing their constituency? Money is the root of the evil here.
So the big business, first off, is I'm going to contribute to you, the candidate, and I'm also going to contribute to the lobbyist that's going to tell you how you should probably vote on specific issues.
Right. And it's interesting to see the people in power. And attached to this article are the campaign finance reports that indicate how much money went to each of these people. And it's not small amounts.
Kim, did I understand that much of this money is coming from out of state?
Right. That's what I said in the beginning. More than half of this money came from out of state. And it also indicates that a lot of these people have been in trouble with the law. For instance, I'm not going to name the name, but I'm going to tell you his bio. He's from Lexington, South Carolina. He gave $9,000 to John Bell and to Ray Pickett. And he was distributing video poker machines in South Carolina after the games were outlawed there. So he got in big trouble there, and he was indicted. So Why are we working again with somebody that's already been indicted and in trouble and possibly in jail? And then there's another one, another guy, I won't read the whole thing, but this guy had seizure of all of his machines. He was arrested, and then a fire burned down his building, surprise, surprise. And he pled guilty to conducting illegal gambling operations. And he and his family have donated $54,000 to North Carolina legislature.
Surprise, surprise. Wow.
So this whole concept won't add to corruption and Ephesians. You know, I mean, the people backing it are criminals.
Now, we went through something not quite similar, but somewhat similar in Massachusetts. Our little town had the only harness racetrack left in this state, and it was dying. And so they asked if they could bring in 1,200 slot machines and off-track betting to keep the harness racing track alive. And
by the way, all of the horse breeders associations that were nearby that bred horses that were used in this.
Yeah, the whole half the town was horse farms. And my feeling was, as long as you are selling lottery tickets at 7-Eleven, then it's a little bit hypocritical to say, no, we can't put in slot machines. But what happened, initially there was some serious revenue from doing that. But the revenue caught up with, or the spending caught up with the revenue, and the people in the town wound up having their taxes raised. It also, now in this case, the casino, it wasn't a casino, but the gambling facility was away from the town. It was at the juncture of two major highways that was 4 or 5 miles away from the actual center of town. So you didn't get a whole lot of influence into the town. But on the other hand, you had people getting on Route 495 that had no business driving because they'd had too much to drink. And that's a problem.
Right.
And you had other things like that going on. Casinos are a very mixed bag. The people at Foxwoods discovered that although the initial revenue was very good, eventually it went down and they had to pay for more police and fire and social services that they had never had to pay before.
I think an interesting thing about casinos, and again, I'm going way off onto a tangent or whatever else, is Donald Trump opened a big casino in Atlantic City, and it was a very, very popular casino until the Indian tribes came by and opened competing casinos. Now, the Indian casinos were not taxed the same way that Trump's casino was taxed, and therefore Trump kept losing money. I think that casino went bankrupt as the other folks took over the gambling in that area.
Part of that too was the state of New Jersey kept on increasing the amount of tax they were charging the Trump casinos.
But couldn't do the other one, couldn't hit the other casinos.
But they weren't taxing the other casinos at all. Mm. So he was at an unfair advantage and eventually had to declare bankruptcy.
Mm. Well, I saved the last bio for the best because this is the one that'll make everybody grin and prove the point of it's the who you know and follow the money. But this particular bio is of person that lives in Georgia, and he's the chairman of the company, and he's given almost $50,000 in campaign contributions over the last 4 years. But he's been indicted in his own state for distributing illegal gambling machines, but he wants them in North Carolina, so he's ramped up his lobbying effort to legalize his gambling devices here in North Carolina. He has five lobbyists in 2023. He only had two in 2019. But these five lobbyists, this is where it's good, including a former majority leader of the North Carolina House and a former chair of the North Carolina Republican Party.
Oh, wow.
Surprise, wow.
But, you know, it's the money. It's the money and the influence. It's the political, what do they say, gravitas that you carry with you. And it's why so many of the people leave the General Assembly and go into lobbying. That's where the money is.
Well, how many times has the CCTA gone up to Raleigh to talk to our representatives, and we're there as ordinary citizens, grassroots people, walking around with people wearing $1,000 shoes and $5,000 suits?
I wouldn't know the difference. I shop at Walmart.
But I mean, we're just ordinary citizens. Theoretically, we should have as much influence as the people pouring money in.
But we don't.
Well, theoretically, we should have supreme influence over our representative and our senator.
I'm continuing to be surprised at the amount of fundraising that's going on and the amount of money that it takes to sponsor a fundraiser. I think our elected officials should spend more time representing the constituents instead of raising money from out-of-state cartels for a re-election bid.
For re-election, yeah.
That is true.
Well, they need to, it sounds silly, but they need to show what results they've gotten out of this current term. So
it is a representative government. They are supposed to represent us.
And I know that we do have some good legislators and some other questionable ones, but, whatever it is, folks, we need to, you included, need to get up there and talk to the legislators. Go around to find out what the legislators support and what they don't support, and get on their case. We're going to take another quick break. Thanks for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Thank you for hearing from our sponsors and supporters, and we're gonna shift gears again. I'm gonna shift gears into the North Carolina Supreme Court. There's just been an announcement. Justice Mike Morgan has announced that he is going to step down from the state Supreme Court in early September. What does that mean? That probably means, first off, that the governor will have the opportunity to put in a replacement for him that will then run as an incumbent.
Is this in any way an indication that the Democrats are not sure they're going to take the governorship in the next election, because he's stepping down now? He's not stepping down after the election.
Well, I think they're up for election this cycle, I believe.
It may be more strategic because there was a really close race with Sherry Beasley and Paul Newby, and I think maybe they're thinking she would have an easier time at re-election as an incumbent than maybe this other guy.
Okay.
It might just be a strategy. I think it's smart.
Even though she had been the Chief Justice.
Right, but I mean, to get her back on the court.
To get her back on the court, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's probably just a strategic move.
Yeah, and so he's going to step down. Now, the question is, what is Justice Morgan going to do? And the article leads to the speculation that he wants to run as governor. He may be getting a lot of advice not to run against Josh Stein, who is the current attorney general, who probably would be the candidate.
Well, Josh Stein has already announced, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he would probably like to do that without enduring a primary.
Mm-hmm.
And we know within the Republican Party, there's a primary that's probably right now going to have six people at least.
Well, it's interesting if you look at different parties, and we may even have that third party, the No Labels Party. I understand they've been able to garner status on ballots, and I think they said 32 or 37 states. I don't know if North Carolina is one.
North Carolina is one.
So we may even get a third party, which...
Well, we have the Libertarian Party and we have the Constitution Party. So we're
I think it's no green labels.
Yeah.
I don't think Constitution Party.
I think one of them got disqualified.
It's green, Libertarian, Republican, Democrat, and now no labels, as I understand it, is going to be added to the registration.
So everybody is going to be taking voters away from everybody.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
Because who knows where the voters for the no label will come from. They will probably come from Democrats and Republicans.
Well, they were trying to say that Joe Manchin would be the kind of person, or Kennedy for the no label, somebody that would be the moderate Democrat. So if you're looking at it from the perspective of conservative or progressive, it seems to me it would help the conservatives more.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe Manchin is an interesting character. Joe Manchin has been in the Senate for quite a while. Joe Manchin maintains a house in wherever he's from. What is he, West Virginia, Kentucky?
West Virginia.
He also has an $800,000 houseboat that he lives on when he's in Washington, and he drives a Maserati.
Mm.
That's pretty good on a salary of $174,000 a year.
He must know some lobbyists.
or at least friends of lobbyists.
He must be really good at the stock market.
Mm.
But and if you watch his voting record, he only votes as a conservative when it doesn't impact the outcome of the election. He voted for the Inflation Reduction Act and then went on the record claiming he didn't support them enforcing it. So he has a very checkered record. Just FYI. But we will have more parties on the ballot, and that's going to make it interesting.
It will make it interesting.
Now, by the way, going back to the state Supreme Court, there's another justice, Anita Earls. She's one of the two Democrat black justices on the Supreme Court. She filed a federal lawsuit Tuesday against the state's Judicial Standards Commission. And she said they targeted her for speaking out on the lack of diversity in our state's court. Now, Kim, you had a quick comment before.
Yeah, it just I don't understand how they can do that when we, the people, elected those justices. So the diversity was elected. And I'm sorry, but we have a very diverse people in all forms of government, starting at school boards, going all the way up to the president.
Well, it's interesting that she was very upset because the Republicans discontinued racial equity training in state courts.
Now, I think when people talk about that stuff, I always think back to a famous speech about being judged by the quality of your character versus the color of your skin. And it
yes.
seems like that's been forgotten. And the same people are talking about the Supreme Court overturning the what was the word that they used for
affirmative action.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Those are the same people screaming, I want to succeed because I worked hard, not because of what color I am.
And you know, I want to, and when I hire a whether it's a contractor or a doctor or a lawyer or anybody like that, I want to know that they got their degree because they did the job, not because somebody gave it to them to put a check mark on some kind of quality thing.
The thing that we need to remember is the difference between equity and equality. Equality means everybody has the same opportunity, and we should do everything we can to make sure that everyone has the same opportunity.
And equal opportunity does not mean equal outcome.
No, different people have different abilities. And one of the problems with the what she is describing as equity or lack of equity is that we need to make sure that schools in every area of the state are teaching kids what they need to succeed. And they're doing their job teaching them math, reading, writing, etc., rather than wasting time telling everyone they're racist and they're oppressors.
But it's bigger than that in those core topics, reading, writing, arithmetic, whatever, because now in the curriculum, they are inserting these political agendas into things
yes.
like the math.
Yes. Well, there was a cartoon on Facebook I loved. It was Lucy from Peanuts saying, when somebody, the only place that somebody can buy 40 cantaloupes is a math problem without anybody saying, what's wrong with you? But I mean, they are getting into, you know, they are getting putting social stuff into mathematics, which is totally ridiculous. 2 and 2 equals 4. It will always equal 4, and stop fooling around with it.
And they're doing that with the social emotional learning as well. It's inclusive in every
literature, all everything.
Yeah. In the books that they choose to have the kids read. Which some parents, when they've tried to read them in front of the school committee, have been shut down, saying you're reading pornography, and the parent says, what's it doing in the school library? And we have that problem in Craven County also. That's not a problem.
We're not immune. No, we're not immune.
So anyway, now that I've done my little tirade, can we get back to the judges?
Well, no, we've also lost, you know, fundamental literature. There's some fundamental literature that we grew up with, and I don't care whether it's I'm going to go with what 12 Angry Men or
To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird, and some
Huck
of those
Finn.
Things that are now, and Huck Finn, yes.
Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer, any of those things that now are being excluded because they're, quote, racist. No, they're showing human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And human nature, I don't care whether it's, by the way, we're studying a book, 5,000 Year Leap, and we're understanding that human nature 5,000 years ago and human nature today are the same. Mm. People, you give people a lot of power, what they want is more power. You need to come up with ways to check their power, to hold them accountable. People that accede to power positions, you've got to really, really watch closely on why do they want to be there.
Somebody referred to the government and the entitlement state as Santa Claus, and it's really hard to vote against Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people now are I'm going to vote to who's going to give me. And
yes.
if you look at a lot of the kids in college right now, that are mad because they're not going to get their loans forgiven. My personal opinion is not every student needs to go to college to make a good living, number one. But number two, if they're going to go to college and if they're going to have a loan, they need to choose a topic that's going to afford them the opportunity to pay back that loan.
Yes.
Yes, you need to choose a career that will pay it back, yes.
There's an old cartoon that shows up periodically where you've got 20 people in a wagon and one person pulling it. And that doesn't work.
No.
You need to get some of the people out of the wagon to help pull it.
Going back to the 5,000-year leap book, in the beginning with the colonies, and they came and mm-hmm. they were a socialist society that wasn't working. They were all starving to death. Somebody said, give them a land, give them some seeds, give them a mule. They'll either live or starve.
On their own.
And that was William Bradford in Plymouth who made that decision. And oddly enough, the crop production just multiplied like crazy.
Yes. And those people that had an aching toe or whatever else all of a sudden learned how to go out and do the farming, even with the aching toe.
And the same charter, Jamestown, of course, was first. And the same charter that did Jamestown did Plymouth. And that was why they both tried it and they both failed.
You need to plug your class.
Well, yes, it is.
It's Saturday mornings.
Saturday mornings and
10 to noon. For further information, send a note to Mary at cctaxpayers.com and I will get you the information.
However, we're not meeting, if you're listening to this on the Labor Day weekend, we're not meeting this weekend. So.
Yes, but we'll be back up. And it's the kind of thing where you can cut, if you can't make every class, just make the ones you can.
We're going to take another quick break. Again, thanks for staying with us.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Thank you again for hearing from our sponsors and supporters, and we're going to continue. Mary, I'm going to put you on the hot seat.
There was a recent article in the Daily Wire, and the headline was, 99% of recent COVID-attributed deaths do not list the virus as the primary cause. That's amazing. New York, 2.1% of reported cases showed COVID as the primary cause of death.
So what you're saying is they're reporting in the headlines that COVID cases are way up. And we're looking at various newspapers, and everybody's watching that the numbers of cases of COVID is way up, yet the deaths are very, very minimal.
Well, you know, when COVID first happened, and we were hearing about all these people dying, and it was scary. I'm the first to admit it was scary. But my first clue that something was not as it appeared to be, we were out shopping one day. Excuse me. And we met a couple our age, and they had had COVID, and they were still with us. And we were hearing all this time that anybody over the age of 65 or 70 was going to die if they got COVID. And they said, this was probably in October of 2020, and they said to us, it wasn't fun. We didn't have to go to the hospital, and we're better now. We were tired for a while. And then we came down with it in November of 2020, and it wasn't fun, and we had to go to bed for a couple of days, and we were tired for a while. And it was so overblown, and my reading said a lot of the people that they said died of COVID died of pneumonia or died because they had put respirators on them. And when you go on a respirator, the muscles that allow you to breathe get weakened. And unless they get you off it fairly quickly, you're not going to recover.
Well, back in that pandemic time also, the known cures, whether it was ivermectin or
Hydrochloroquine,
those known cures were all of a sudden outlawed.
Well, I have one question with that and the pharmaceuticals is, since when in American history do we allow industry to dictate policy like we did in COVID?
That's true. And the other thing, recently the FDA has approved ivermectin as a treatment for COVID.
It was always on the
CDC.
In the CDC site as a prescribed. It was listed as the second one, as the second medicine. But there was a lot of money involved. Here I go again, and the pharmaceuticals were giving money back to the hospitals and back to the physicians for every prescription, for every person
shot
that was admitted, for every shot. There was a lot of money. There was a lot of money involved in not just the disease, but in healing it and in the vaccines. And the same thing with the vaccines. The trials that they did, it was unprecedented with how quickly they came out with the trials. And we won't know for a minimum of 5 years what kind of longstanding. And we chose not to be vaccinated, not because we're anti-vaccine, but because we decided that we didn't know what we didn't know. And we felt that we would take our chances with something that was already stated to be 99% recoverable. And additionally, we chose to live in faith rather than fear. What was difficult during that period of time was how ostracized you feel from other people who did get vaccinated. And you felt like they thought you were threatening their lives just by merely being in their presence. And it just was it was so political and so divisive. And I hate to see it coming back again. It'll be interesting to see how many people fall for the fear.
Well, one of the problems was that if the vaccine was approved on an emergency basis, and if there was a recognized cure for the disease, then that emergency basis approval would not have been given.
And the emergency approval also gives them no suit.
It gives them legal immunity, yes.
And you're also saying that that the panic of the cure, where we're going to bring on this special unproven thing, we'll run our blind tests or whatever else. Well, apparently all that blind testing information got lost or destroyed or just thrown away and ignored because, well, we can get X number of dollars for each vaccination that we give. And up until this, quote, emergency vaccination, all other vaccinations appeared to stop the effects of the disease. This one has never stopped it, from what we know.
But it wasn't just
They redefined what vaccine meant.
Right. But it wasn't just to get the vaccine to prevent it. Then you had to get a booster. Then you had to get a booster. Then you had to get a booster. And natural immunity works for a whole lot longer than any of those vaccines did.
And we had our immunity tested a year after we'd had COVID, and we still had it.
And there's an awful lot of, anecdotal information that really the COVID is maybe a super cold. Mm-hmm. It's nothing more than a super cold. And yes, it probably took the world by surprise, but it's not something that deserved all the credit that it got.
Nor did it deserve all
the money. What's that?
Do you think it was a bioweapon?
I don't know whether it was a bioweapon or not. It probably was something that was developed for some purpose. I don't know whether it was released accidentally or on purpose. Don't want to go there. But I do know that our reaction was 100% wrong.
Well, particularly the states that sent COVID patients into nursing homes. What did they expect? They should have, of all the people that needed to be protected, it was the people in the nursing homes that didn't need the COVID virus brought in to their doorstep. Those governors have never been held accountable.
Well, looking at these numbers about what a small percentage of people died from, I really believe if you go back to the origination of COVID, a lot of people died with COVID, but if you looked at the facts of the matter then versus now, I'm not sure that it would be significantly different. Now, yeah, it brought on other complications with what?
Pneumonia.
But I'm not denying that. But, let's face it, big money was provided to people or to hospitals that were dealing, and that bigger than the vaccine market.
Anecdotally, as you're saying, yes, we heard of people in motorcycle accidents, fatalities that, well, gee, they had COVID too.
Yeah. Well, so they were on the list.
So what? Yeah. They're bald. So why didn't they die from baldness?
No, the numbers have been inflated. There was, and I suspect still is, a fear campaign. And as Kim said, it will be interesting to see how people react this time. Have we gotten any smarter? Have we gotten any wiser? And the best advice any doctor will give you during the flu season is wash your hands a lot. Don't do stupid things.
Let's confuse the issue just a little bit more, okay? And so here we went through all of this effort, and we're tracking this COVID, and again, you still go into every drugstore, and they're willing to give you the COVID shot and whatever else. How many COVID shots have been given to illegal immigrants?
No idea. Got to find them first.
Okay, because
very few.
We were, there's periods of time where you were not allowed to go into New York City unless you could show your COVID shot record card, whatever
vaccine
else.
Vaccine
ID card. And now there's how many thousands of immigrants in there? Do they all have the card?
Well, they don't have other vaccines that are required for education either, but we still let them in the schools.
Yes.
Yes, we've had an outbreak of leprosy in this country. Now, I don't know that anybody's ever had a shot for leprosy, but we've not seen it for a very long time.
When you were talking earlier, just a few minutes ago, about how the citizens are going to react, I think that's one level. But because the election process is ramping up now, it's more concerning to me how the state legislators are going to react as it relates to going back to the problem with more mail-in ballots and all of the means to be more fraudulent opportunities with the voting process. And I think that's going to come back into play.
Well, the hope is that the law they put into place about the state of emergency only being good for, is it 90 days without the Council of State's approval?
I think it's even less than that. I think it's more like 30 days. 30 days.
You better watch out for that lobbyist money. Those pharmaceuticals will come back into that General Assembly and say, I've got a campaign donation for you.
Wow. Well, you know, there's a lot more that we could say about this, the COVID, and a lot more we could say about many of the topics that we talked about. Mary, we're going to switch gears, and you're going to talk
about... I just want to remind people that on September 19th, which is a Tuesday, the CCTA public meeting is going to be about cyber currency. It's going to be a presentation from someone in the industry. Actually, it's a company the government would like to shut down, which to me gives her credibility. And she will be answering our questions, making a presentation and answering questions from the public about cyber currency, how it works, how it doesn't work, how it's regulated, how it's tracked, and things like that. I think for those of us, myself included, that know nothing about cyber currency, that it should be a very interesting evening, 7 o'clock, September 19th, Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern, right across from City Hall, up on the second floor.
Any other last comments?
How about that weather out there?
Well, we're recording this on Wednesday night, and tomorrow is going to be a very interesting day. Our prayers go out to the people in Florida and Georgia and South Carolina who've gone through this before it gets here. And we just pray that everybody hunkered down and we'll get through this together and it'll be fine.
Please, please, let's not let Jim Cantore come to town. So
we don't want to see him.
That's one of those little things that... is not necessarily.
There was a post on Facebook that said, if you have a hurricane coming, you need to leave milk and cookies out for Jim Cantore.
I saw that.
So that you'll have electricity when the hurricane is over.
I saw that.
Yes. Awesome. Again, thank you for staying with us. And this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Again, thank you again. Have a great day.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.